At this hour, Mayor Kirk Caldwell is wrapping up a news conference on the grounds of Honolulu Hale, the subject, short-term rentals. It's been about a week since the city's Department of Planning and Permitting began cracking down on the advertising of illegal vacation rentals. As of yesterday, DPP had yet to cite anyone, but it has seen a drop in ads. As of Friday, the DPP says it watched the numbers go from 5,000 to about 3,000. A legal challenge to the enforcement bill will be heard next week, but the city says it is monitoring the online platforms. We heard from TZ economist Paul Brubaker yesterday. Today we hear from the real estate industry. John Connolly is the broker in charge at Locations, a company that's marked its 50th anniversary here in the islands. While inventory is up this year, Connolly says it may take some time before we can tell what effect the crackdown's having.
We have not seen a blip, so to speak. I think it's still a little bit early to tell what's going to shake out from all of this.
The stories that I'm hearing are anecdotal, you know, that someone saw a property go on the market on the North Shore. The price has been reduced a couple hundred thousand. Some folks are noticing more luxury homes. Do you have any data to say where the inventory is growing?
No, we don't have any data on this yet. It's still a little bit early to tell what's going to be happening, if people are going to be liquidating their homes or converting them to long-term rentals. I think the jury is still out on that.
And what does this mean, let's say, for companies that might have like a vacation rental division?
Well, if these are what most people would say are not consistent with the law, the new law, I think they're going to have some reduced inventory, and it's going to inhibit their ability to advertise as well.
And are you seeing like companies out there maybe doing more property management, let's say, for rentals, long-term rentals?
No, we haven't seen that change. There's still a lot of companies out there doing long-term rentals already, but we haven't seen an influx of new companies getting into that.
And what's your sense as to how far out we might be seeing beginnings of a trend? 2 months, 3 months?
For a trend, it would probably be a couple months. So to actually develop a trend and be able to take a group of homes and say, okay, these used to be short-term rentals and now they're being put on market, and what percentage of the marketplace does that represent? It's going to take several months, I think, for that to all flush out. We've had inquiries. People are trying to gauge the impact on the market, what they can and cannot do. You know, what are the different provisions of the new ordinance? But that's about it so far.
And then my understanding is that there are some places in Waikiki, you know, while they said these vacation rentals can operate in resort zones, not all of Waikiki is a resort zone.
That's correct. So the new ordinance addresses short-term rentals in resort zone and certain apartment zone areas also. But you're correct. Not all of them are going to be eligible. Some buildings, the ability to do a short-term rental might be overridden by the covenants for that particular building. We don't think the sky is going to fall. Certainly, there will be some units that come on market for sale. Some will be converted to long-term rentals, but it is not going to have cause a significant change in the direction of the market from what we can see right now. But again, it's still early in the game for drawing that conclusion.
I did see something the other night when I jumped online just to see what was on the market, and there was an ad that said address not disclosed by the seller. I don't know how usual that is, and I did look at the pictures. I found that it was a house in Portlock that was advertised on one of those home sharing platforms.
And I think that's, you know, one of the options that people are going to explore. The city and county seem pretty confident that they'll be able to flush out the legal rentals from the illegal rentals. So it looks like you were able to do that as well.
Yeah, like I said, it didn't take me long. It was just kind of amusing. I mean, does that happen very often where you have someone who just doesn't want to list the address?
I haven't actually pursued it. It's not part of our business model, doing short-term rentals.
No. This was just a seller a property that was up for sale, and they just didn't want to disclose where the property was.
Okay, that's not something that
that's
that
unusual,
we
right? Yeah, that's what I thought. I'd never seen that myself, but I just don't know if, you know, folks want you to contact the realtor and then go through the process where they don't want you just knocking on their door or driving by or something. But I thought that was kind of odd.
That's different. I think that's probably what a lot of people are doing right now, is just trying to sort it out what we think was what we think is going to happen as opposed to what is actually happening. And that's why it's hard to gauge at this point.
We also reached out to Jennifer Andrews, who is chair of the Government Affairs Committee with the Honolulu Board of Realtors, to get a sense of what it's hearing from its members.
For the Board of Realtors positioning, we've always seen this bill being the enforcement of what's been happening, as far as nothing has changed since 1989 with what DPP considers NUCs, non-conforming use certificates. However, we understand that usage of properties without NUCs have been ongoing and problematic. So from HBR's positioning, it was, as far as the bill, we supported it with recommendations. We supported the fact that enforcement and regulation needed to be done. But we also understood that there was a need for bread and breakfast accommodations, and in the future, other types of accommodations and housing needs within those that are residences of Honolulu, as well as those that are visiting, you know, our islands for vacationing. As far as inventory, we haven't seen any data yet. So I think that'll be something that'll be forthcoming in the future to see whether or not this will actually impact the housing inventory levels and affordability, if it becomes to that point. But that'll be further down the line. We don't have any data to support one way or the other at this point.
I'm hearing stories out there in the community that there are properties where the prices have been reduced, by, let's say, investors maybe who just want to get ahead of the curve and bail and park their money somewhere else.
I think that might be more inclined to perhaps, depending on who you speak with and the demographics that they serve. We, as the Board of Realtors, again, we don't have any data to support one way or the other. We know that inventory levels have gone up since the beginning of the year, but it wouldn't necessarily be a direct correlation with Bill 89. Our focus hasn't really been to drill down at this point on the inventory levels, because folks will have to decide moving forward once the enforcement goes into effect. They're going to have to decide what they're going to do with their properties in terms of what's the best and highest use for doing a long-term rental. Perhaps that might work out for them. They can hold on to the property. They may want to consider doing the 30-day rentals. You know, they can rent them out 12 times a year, you know, at max, but they can rent it out 12 times a year at 30-day intervals. And that might be something that will allow them to hold on to the properties. Our goal as HBR is to continue to educate not only our members, but the public as well, and to continue to work with DPP and City Council on how we can identify certain areas and buildings that have been utilized in a particular way with the understanding that they could do short-term rentals. However, the zoning does not allow it. So for Waikiki, which is a special district, you could look at Kuhio Avenue as where it would split. Anything Mauka of Kuhio would be apartment precinct zoned. Anything Makai would be resort zoned. However, there are pockets within Waikiki which certain buildings may not fall into that resort area and may have been used previously or currently being used as short-term rentals. And there's buildings and areas that we've already identified. We've been asking our members to alert us as well, so we can, again, continue to work with Department of Planning and Permitting in how we can determine whether the usage of these buildings would be exempt or if we need to do an amendment and propose that to City Council.
I see. So possibly expand the resort district in Waikiki.
Not necessarily expand the resort district, because that would have to go to land use and you would have to do a rezoning. It would be more of getting the exemption, kind of like how the non-conforming use is. And I think that's where, if there's precedent set, you know, what was the original intent of the building? And DPP does have regulations as far as how many times it was rezoned. So I think that's more of a bigger conversation that we are still trying to clarify and work with DPP on, as far as which buildings. I know that the Director Sokugawa had made a statement regarding those letters, that they are also continuing to work on their process of being able to be more specific in identifying buildings or units, and the feedback that they get from both realtors and those that are owning properties, I think, will help them, again, to be able to better their process moving forward.
Okay. All right. So obviously then things probably need to be tweaked as DPP makes its way in trying to...
Yeah, and they've been very open about that, too. Mm-hmm. Deputy Director Timmy Hugh had stated, you know, when they first started looking at Ordinance 1918 or Bill 89 when it first got passed and decided, okay, how are we going to handle this? I mean, within 1 week, because of the questions that came in, their fact sheet went to, their FAQs went from 2 pages to 6 pages. So they've been very open about the fact that they are continuing to look at how they can better their processes with regulations and identifying properties.
Okay.
And the bill did allow them time as well, because it is a big to take on, you know.
Right, it's a big, it is.
Yeah, there's different
biting
departments.
Off a lot.
You know, each building, each area has different nuances. So those are areas that we're trying to help to identify and clarify exact allowances for use. But as it stands now, the public needs to be aware that if they did not have, or do not have, I should say, a current NUC, which is a non-conforming use certificate for a property that is not within the resort area that's allowed to be used as a short-term rental. Not for the county of Honolulu, that would be anything that's less than 30 consecutive days. So if you're renting something out for 28 days, then you would be subject to being required to have an NUC.
Right.
And if you don't have that, then it's an illegal short-term rental. And it's always been that way for the past 30 years. It's only the enforcement that's changed for
right.
that particular permit.
That was Jennifer Andrews of the Honolulu Board of Realtors and John Connolly of Locations talking about the possible impact of the city crackdown on illegal vacation rentals.